This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Lots of stuff happening in the last couple hours. I'm so fired up because usually it's like 18 hours till we can get on the air after everybody's chewed it up and spit it out and regurgitated everything that's gone on. Not this morning. Rob Saleh, hired by the New York Jets, 10 p.m. last night. DJ LeMahieu, Yankee fans, you got your guy. He is back, the guy that absolutely needed to be re-signed. They are finalizing a deal with DJ LeMahieu, according to John Morosi. So an exciting day, and we have had so much happen here over the last couple of weeks in New York sports. I mean, it really does feel like a resurgence right now. We don't know where it's going to go, but my goodness, Steve Cohen making the Lindor thing happen with Sandy
Alderson. It all started with Trevor May.
Oh, stop.
It all started with Trevor May and then his came Twitch. McCann, then came the trade for Lindor. Then the next thing you know, Matthew Barzell signs his contract. You got LeMahieu getting ready to sign his contract. The Jets got a new coach. James Harden gets traded for. Kyrie Irving's missing in action. I mean, it's like nonstop.
Yep, DJ LeMahieu going back to the Yankees.
It's a good distraction, actually, with everything else that's going on in the world. It's a really good distraction around here. And it's good. It seems like everything is moving in a positive direction for most of these teams.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the Rangers definitely not after last night. The Knicks definitely not. The Nets, it's sort of like a halfway thing.
It's one game.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It's one game.
I mean, you want to talk about, like,
I keep telling you,
getting embarrassed.
I mean, you got.
But in a shortened season, one game is like,
I know.
Seven.
Yeah, you did tell me that.
You got, like, Buzanovich and Kreider running around on penalty kill, and nobody listens.
One more loss, they're like out of the playoffs.
Penalty kill, penalty kill, penalty kill. The special teams are key, especially when you give up freaking eight penalties.
After the Islanders.
There probably should have been another 4-minute penalty on Keandre Miller, who almost took Anders Lee's head off.
After the Islanders scored their third goal last night, and I believe that was like 4 nanoseconds into the game. I said, you know, I remember Boomer telling me that the teams that get off to bad starts are really going to be in tough shape. So I wonder if
they play
okay
again
right
Saturday
now.
Night, and then will be a different game. And you know, the Ranger players won't be as nervous and, you know, all caught up in the pomp and circumstance of getting their names introduced before the game.
I mean, sure.
Jesus God.
Right, names introduced, then asses handed to them.
There's a reason why there's nobody wearing a captain C on this team. That's for sure.
Let's go to Kenny in New Jersey. What's going on, Kenny?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good morning. What's up?
I was just wondering how you and Boomer would think about what Joe Beningo would have to say about this new hire.
Yeah, I wonder what Joe thinks. You know, it's funny because in this day and age, there's very few people that are opinion makers that aren't on social media. And Joe Beningo, of course, was an opinion maker for many, many years. People want to know what he thinks about certain things, especially the Jets, number one on that list. And I'm sure a lot of people who didn't know that Joe wasn't on Twitter maybe were like searching for Joe Beningo last night to see what he said. I don't know what he thinks. I would imagine that Joe probably likes the hire. I would.
Oh,
that would be my guess.
He has to.
Well, I mean, he's also had some contrarian takes to the other fans of the franchise in recent memory. Like, everybody seemed to want Trevor Lawrence in the Jet fan base and was devastated by that win against St. Louis. Jeez, how far am I going back? The L.A. Rams. But, you know, and he said, no, I wanted my team to win the game. It didn't really bother me. And people were sort of surprised by that. So I don't know. I do think he would like this, though. I really do.
I don't see how you can't like it.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, you have to. I mean, given the candidates that are available to take on a job of this magnitude, there's probably about five or six legit guys that can do something like this. And this guy, going through everything in his past and his resume, and you see what's gone on. You know, and his brother worked here in New York City. So he, I'm sure, has been here plenty of times.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah.
And knows what's going on here. I'm sure he understands what happened to Adam Gase. I'm sure he is immersing himself in the history of the New York Jets and what the Jet fan is like and what they want to hear at the opening press conference. And, you know, all of those things, I guarantee you he will be buttoned up with.
Yeah, and I think that also with Joe and his take, because Evan worked with Joe for 14 years before he retired. Like, if Joe's going to go on the air, it should be with Craig and Evan.
Sure.
That's the way I feel about it. When people are like, oh, put Joe on, I'm always like, yeah, but...
it's Evan's guy.
Right, exactly. They worked over a decade with one another. So that's why we don't put Joe on.
All right, Greg and Sayville. Greg, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
So I wanted to talk about the obviously, I love the hire. I love it. The offensive coordinator. What do you guys know about him?
All right. Well, we've been going over this the last day and a half. So this is the younger brother of Matt LaFleur, the head coach for the Green Bay Packers. Comes from the same lineage. In other words, it's going to be the off-tackle runs. It's going to be the bootlegs. It's going to be the wide receiver screens. When you watch the Packers against the Rams this weekend, which is not going to be easy, by the way, it never is easy when you're going against the number one defense, and the Rams defense is for real. Just watch the concepts. Now, look, the Jets don't have Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. No, but you'll see that they want to run the football. You'll see a lot of different formations. You'll see a lot of different motion. And, you know, these are the types of things that I'm sure his younger brother is going to want to try to bring here for whoever the quarterback is. I believe it's going to be Sam Darnold now.
Yeah, and
I really do.
Well, don't you think, though, that you'd have to compare him more to what's going on in Kyle Shanahan's offense than what's going on in Green Bay, because, like, that's where he was. I don't know if he might think his brother's an idiot. Like, I have no idea.
No, I don't
think so. Really, it's really what's going on in San Francisco than what is going on in Green Bay.
He probably didn't want to bring him to, you know, Green Bay just simply because it probably didn't look right. So
sure.
He got a job with Kyle Shanahan, and that's kind of the world that he's in. The real question will be, for me, is calling plays. For a guy who I don't believe has ever called plays before, that's always going to be, you know, the next big step for that guy.
Sure. Now, he was the passing game coordinator was his title there under Kyle Shanahan. So that team always, to me, felt like even when they had injuries at every position and Nick Mullins was playing and C.J. Beathard was playing.
Hell, they came in here and beat the hell out of the Jets and Giants.
Right. That they had a shot offensively. I mean, in all those times. So is all of that Kyle Shanahan? It very well may be. But, I mean, from what we know, being Rob Saleh's friend, being someone that he trusts to bring in this job where it's like, hey, this is my first head coaching job. He's not going to pick some schlub to come with him. And you have a brother who's a head coach in the league. I mean, those are all good things and boxes that are checked, as
they
say.
Just remember, you heard Joe Judge tell us that he was so happy that he was keeping Patrick Graham as the defense coordinator.
Yeah.
That's his job, to coordinate the defense and to work with the defense. But it's Joe's job to be the guy to stand up in front of everybody and say, you know, this is what we're doing. This is who we are, setting the culture, setting the way we're going to practice, setting the way we're going to travel. This is when we're going to do our meetings, how we're going to do our meetings. And obviously, Rob Saleh is going to have to also figure out, under the current set of circumstances with the pandemic, how that negatively impacts putting your team and your staff together. But I'm sure that he's already working.
Oh, for sure.
I would imagine his wife's here looking for a house. I would imagine all that stuff is happening relatively quickly.
Well, and at least they're coming from California, where they're not going to have the shock of what's going on, like real estate-wise and taxes-wise and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
Have you been in New Jersey?
Well, they're not going to have the shock.
Oh, no, they're going to be shocked.
Well, New California's pretty bad, too,
well,
though.
So it's worse, but it's still horrific.
But you don't understand what I'm saying, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a little bit better, yes.
Right.
A little bit better.
They're not
much better,
be shocked
but a little bit better.
It. Like, they're not coming from Wisconsin.
Yeah, but if you go by a percentage, most people will tell you that New Jersey's worse than anywhere in the world.
But California's
maybe
pretty bad.
Maybe with the exception of mainland China.
I still feel like my point holds, though, where, like, somebody who's coming from, I don't know, one of the no-tax states, Texas, Florida, or maybe even someone from like the middle, like you talk Minnesota, Wisconsin, and then you go get to New Jersey. Oh, what in the hell's going on?
Like
here?
When James Harden gets to Brooklyn and he goes, "How much money are you taking out of my Anthony of Long Island? Anthony, what's happening?
What's up, boys? How we doing?
Hey, Anthony,
we've been better.
What's up, G? You're my guy. I'll tell you real quick before I make my point. I bumped into you about a year and a half ago, Blue Point Brewery. You had extra beer tickets. You took a picture of me. You gave me your extra beer tickets. I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember. This was at that Oyster Fest, right, where they had everything sat out, and we sat there, and I talked to you and your friends and whatever, your girlfriend or wife who was there. I do remember that, yes.
Absolutely, man. That's awesome, man. So, but that was my point. You're awesome. But I wake up this morning. You gotta bust Boom's balls all times. I'm usually the one doing that, but I got to take Boom's side today. You're saying the Rangers are in trouble. That one game is equal to seven. Boom. We got a young team. I'm not worried after last night. It's one game.
Though I'm just using his words, Anthony. It's the ultimate sign of respect that I'm using his points.
Okay.
He's the one who told me that every game matters so much, and a bad start really, really can hurt a franchise.
The thing that bothers me, and you can ask any one of my buddies that are a Ranger fan like me, and you know when I'm doing my Ranger stuff with those guys, we're talking about it. I said there's one major glaring weakness that just absolutely bugs the hell out of me that still has not been attended to.
Toughness?
Penalty kill.
Oh, okay.
And they gave up 8 penalties last night, and they should have given up another 4-minute one after Keandre Miller almost took off Anders Lee's head.
All right.
But that's the thing that really bothers me. And then last night, they were standing around. They weren't skating. The Islanders, they took it right to them. A veteran, savvy playoff team basically came in and beat their ass in their own building, and it was embarrassing.
So that was embarrassing for the Ranger fan. The Islander fan's fired up. The Jet fan is fired up. The Yankee fan is fired up. DJ LeMahieu finalizing a deal with the Yankees. Rob Saleh, the next Jets head coach. The Met fan has been fired up with Francisco Lindor here. Stuff is happening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
And yeah, the Yankees said to be finalizing this new contract with DJ LeMahieu. That, according to John Morosi. Now, John Heyman on Twitter would be like, catching up on credit, John Morosi first.
Right.
The deal could be completed sometime today. That said, while we were sleeping, not Greg, though, because he tweeted it out about midnight, the Jets agreed to hire 49ers defensive coordinator Rob Saleh as their new head coach. So you got that. You've got Urban Meyer going to the Jaguars as new head coach. And the sleepy hire of the day goes to the Falcons. No, I'm just kidding. They take Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. I'm joking. And Todd Bowles apparently is going to meet with the Lions about their head coaching vacancy. He did meet with the Falcons. That's gone. Now he's going to be meeting with the Lions. No idea what the Eagles are doing. We told you yesterday they did request to speak with Kellen Moore, Cowboys offensive coordinator. And Troy Aikman either said or didn't say, it depends on how you interpret what he said and how he said it, that he believes that Doug Peterson was let go because he wanted Jalen Hurts as the quarterback going forward and not Carson Wentz.
There's so much stuff about that situation that hasn't come out yet that's shocking to me.
Like, read the book.
Drips and drabs and things are coming out, but like in this day and age of NFL reporting,
yes,
like we still don't know about week 17 and we still don't know about who wanted who at the quarterback position. I think Troy Aikman was kind of alluding to it and we have a better sense, but I mean, you would think that like a Jay Glazer or one of these guys would be all over it.
Maybe this weekend we'll hear something about it. You know, this is usually the weekend, especially with the hires happening now.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden a lot of this stuff breaks, because what will will happen is whoever Doug Peterson's agent is, I'm sure, is representing a number of these other coaches.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll end up talking to some of these insiders behind the scenes, and they'll say, so what happened to Doug? Well, you know, he wanted Jalen Hurts, and Howie Roseman wanted to keep Carson Wentz, and so they couldn't see eye to eye on it, and that's how it will come out.
Makes sense to me.
Probably yes. So. Yeah. Tomorrow we got two games on Sunday. Tomorrow, Rams and Packers, followed by Ravens and Bills. Here's Josh Allen. Lots of respect for Lamar Jackson.
He is one of the greatest dudes you can be around. He really is. And then for him to kind of have the adversity of coming out the first year and people doubted him, and then to go out and explode on the scene last year, and he's just one of those guys you root for. And
you just don't want to lose to him.
They're kind of like the same guys. You know, like they both struggled a little bit their rookie year. Both had doubters. You know, everybody in Buffalo wasn't sure whether or not Josh Allen was the guy after 1 year. Leads him to the playoffs last year. Has a couple Brett Favre moments in a game that he actually played pretty well in against the Houston Texans, and then came back. And both of them are so much more polished now, 3 years into their career, that they're both going to get huge contract extensions.
And let me tell you, I just was looking up the Doug Peterson agent thing just because I was curious. And boy, are you right. I mean, this guy is like the Michael Jordan of coaching agents. He's got everybody. Bob Lamonte.
Oh, yeah, Bob Lamont. Yeah.
He's got everybody. So he does have Brian Daboll. He's got executives. He's got Nick Caserio, who was just hired. He's got that Jack Easterby. And by the way.
Oh, he's at the lottery this week.
You know who else he represents in a front office?
In the front office, Joe Douglas,
Howie Roseman.
So he represents Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson.
Yep,
that's awkward.
Yeah,
maybe that's why Doug Peterson got the job in the first place,
and maybe this is why no information is coming out on this particular situation.
Right,
could be right. Sunday on CBS, Browns and Chiefs. And much like Josh Allen just spoke of Lamar Jackson, here was Baker Mayfield. Lots of respect for one Patrick Mahomes.
We'll do things that a lot of quarterbacks can't do.
And that's it. That's all you need to say. We see the no-look passing and everything he does. He's just been a tremendous player.
Matthew Stafford does that.
Yeah, not the same.
It's
not the same. Well, Stafford's not in Patrick Mahomes'
What about
universe.
Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers came out and said, remember that on the Pat McAfee show? I was like, yeah, I guess nobody's been doing no-look passes. I've just been doing that since I came in the league.
Well, I just threw that out there. You know? I thought that was pretty
Why would you just throw that out there? Like,
because
so
he does things that others don't do.
It's fair.
Mr. I love Patrick Mahomes.
It is fair.
And I do. And by the way, do you know how many points his team averages in the playoffs?
33.
G?
I'm going to say 38.
35.8 points, and he's never scored less than 31 points. This team has never scored less than 31 points in five playoff games. How about that?
How about that?
Who's going to – hey, unless Cleveland runs the ball down their throat and holds on to it for like, you know,
45 minutes.
30 minutes, whatever. Forget it.
Yep. Sunday night, you got the old man bowl between the Bucks and the Saints. You got Breeze, you got Brady, and I guess there's this History Channel, as Jim Nance would call it, meme that is out there. Breeze was asked.
I thought it was hilarious. Tom kind of had like a – I was going the biblical route. Tom kind of had the Abraham look going. I didn't like the hairline, I'll be honest. I would have liked a little thicker head of hair, you know? I mean, I know I'm getting older and probably losing a little bit, but I would have liked a little more hair up top.
So they're having a little bit of fun with this, with two aging quarterbacks in their 40s, as we know. So there you go, the NFL playoffs this weekend. Couple of things here from the Nets and Sean Marks, and then I'm going to take it the TNT route. First, Marks was asked about acquiring James Harden. Why bankrupt your draft stock for this, for the next 7 years, essentially?
We're not bankrupt right now, so there's still multiple ways to build.
Yeah. Any concerns how – now, we talked about this last hour. He was asked point blank if he had any concerns the way Harden called out his team in Houston.
I don't read too much into that. You know, I think, again, I don't want to speak for James and or any of our players for why they say the things they say. Look, they've got their own voices. They've got their own brands. And these guys are grown men, and there's reasonings behind everything.
Grown men acting like babies, but they are grown men. Oh! James.
He was going to be great, honestly.
He was asked if it's championship or bust. Don't care for this answer.
Well, I don't want to get into what's a failure and what's not. I think everybody knows, you know, what this team is positioned and capable of potentially doing. And, you know, we've got to get everybody gelling.
No, good.
Dribble, 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 fat.
So I have one question for you. When you listen to him talk now, compared to what he was saying a couple years back, and we've had him on a couple times, and we've talked about how
I know I have. I haven't. I don't believe I've ever spoken to Sean Martin.
He was brought here because he was going to try to emulate the Spurs.
Yeah.
Just like Sandy Alderson's trying to emulate the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. I get it. It's why wouldn't you? This is where, you know, they seem to have the answer. And obviously they all had all those great players, and they have Greg Popovich and all that other stuff. But now all of a sudden, listening to him yesterday, it doesn't sound like he was the guy that was making all these decisions.
Fraud! Fraud! I didn't get that sense.
No, I think he changed his attitude because of the way things have gone. And then once that Kyrie and Kevin Durant came in here, he handed them the keys. And that's what happens in the NBA these days.
All right, so here's the $100 million question. Can they count on Kyrie Irving? Can they count on him to be there, to be all in, and not be distracted, not be, you know, whatever the issues are? Jerry, you're the net fan here. Answer me that question.
I mean, the track record is what it is. You have to hope. There's nothing else I can say.
It's bizarre behavior, and this is not the only place where we have seen this behavior.
You have now mortgaged your future on a guy who comes and goes as he pleases, which I don't think I'm speaking out of turn. That's pretty much been, I don't feel like playing for the next four games, and I'm going to go to my sister's party. Okay, fine. And you've mortgaged your future on a guy who, you know, has basically, let Shaq say it.
Well, and he also needs that Kyrie at some point has to explain himself. And I don't know if he's going to tell the full truth, but like, and nobody really knows.
This type is bizarre, guys.
He'll talk to the media when he comes back.
I mean, you know, and there's issues he may have in his life that we know nothing about. That could be part of the story as well. I don't know. But right now, we're left to speculate. And when people are left to speculate and people don't hear from the actual source in the horse's mouth, then all of a sudden, things get crazy.
It doesn't help. You're right. Yeah.
I never liked the answer. When guys just go missing and AWOL and don't say anything, it's never a good thing. It's never a good thing. The answer is never, never good.
Here was Shaq last night on TNT. Is it championship or bust now for the Nets and for Harden, basically?
So now he got his little super team. He got to win this year. If he don't win this year, it's a bust, period.
Which is what Sean Marks just said he didn't want to classify it as. Here's Shaq. He says Harden always gets what he wants, and it always seems to fail.
You asked for Dwight Howard. We gave him to you. Didn't work out. You asked for Chris Paul. We gave him to you. You asked for some shooters. We gave it to you. We asked for Westbrook, your homeboy from Little League. We gave him to you. Didn't work out.
Then Shaq would go on to rip his playoff performances.
And when you say I gave you everything, I say no, you didn't. Because the last five games, when it comes to elimination, you're 1-4. You've been shooting 41%, 24% from three, 32 assists, and 27 turnovers.
And then finally,
thank you, Shaq, the voice of reason. Thank you.
Harden doesn't live up to the hype.
When you're the man, you got a big responsibility. It's all on you. So when it comes time to show up, he ain't show up. So I know a lot of people in Houston glad he's gone.
Wow. Well, I disagree with you there, big fella. I see it a different way. He's going to be motivated. He's going to come in slim and trim. I mean, we're going to go win a championship. But if we don't, that's okay too.
No defense, no nothing.
He was asked about, I'm glad you brought that up. Hold on. Clip 20. He was asked about replacing Jarrett Allen's defense.
This is an opportunity for other people. You know, this is a great, hopefully a confidence builder for them. This is a great opportunity so people can seize this moment.
Translation. No idea.
What other people? Nobody that could do what Jarrett Allen was actually becoming.
I know.
Right before our very eyes as a draft pick, a developed player, and a guy that had everybody's back on the court. Had everybody's back.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
It is bizarre. And what I was about to say before is they've mortgaged the future for a year and a half run, and you better hope that number seven doesn't get hurt.
Oh, right.
Because imagine if you're left with just Harden and Kyrie wondering if they want to show up. Harden looking around and saying, who are these guys?
Watch it. So say if you put Kevin Durant on the Knicks. Watching that game the other night, and you put Kevin Durant on the Knicks.
The Knicks are a playoff team.
The Knicks are easily a playoff
team.
That's how good he is.
He is.
Just picture Kevin Durant's hurt. You go to Instagram, James Harden's partying with Lil Nas X. Kyrie Irving is in like Machu Picchu somewhere.
It could be the all-time greatest. It really could be. I mean, not the hurt part. I don't want the hurt part.
No.
But that is a serious concern with the injuries he's had, and he looks great, and I hope he,
oh my God, he
never gets
great.
Hurt again. He looks like he is at peak form, and he's fun to watch, and he's awesome. But, if he gets hurt, oh God, complete implosion, and you have given away your future. Yep. You have.
Well, it's a risk. I mean, they're taking it, and Joe Tsai, the owner, said, hey, I don't care. I don't mind spending a luxury tax bill to the tune of $86 million on top of paying these guys.
You know, I've thought about it. I've thought about it a lot. Because even Evan yesterday was saying he's coming around to the idea. I think what bothers me most is I thought the Nets were good enough already. Was it going to be easy? No. But I thought they were good enough already. Ah, and you give away three unprotected picks.
Well, I mean, if you're a Nets fan, you got no choice but to come around on it, right?
And, soon as he plays, I'll be there watching. There's no question about it. And do I think that these three, if they actually want to play, will be amazing? Yeah, they probably will.
Kevin Durant wants to play, but the other two, man.
Think about how ridiculous this is. So you've got two out of three guys. So James Harden's making what in base salary this
42,
year?
42, I believe. 40? He's the highest paid of the three, I think.
$42 million.
Yeah.
And then Kyrie Irving's what, $36 million?
33, I believe it is.
No, I think it's more than 33, isn't it?
So those two guys, it's a legitimate question. We've become accustomed to asking this question, that those two guys getting paid that amount of money that are superstars in the league, if they want to play or not. Think about that.
I know.
We're talking about it so cavalierly, but it's the truth.
All right.
It's like, when have you ever seen that in pro sports?
All right.
Two out of these three stars.
Harden's making, salary is $41,254,000.
And you're right, Irving is 35.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
33, but 35.
Kevin Durant is $39 million, plus he has another million on top of that, so about $40 million. And then Kyrie Irving is $33.3 million. Do we want to play? Do we want to show up? Do we want to? I mean, come on. I mean, it's like.
But this is what you've created with these paychecks.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter anymore. I mean, you have to want to win for sure. I'm not saying they don't. But if.
Kevin Durant does. I don't care what anybody says.
And he's done it before. And we've seen him do it. And we've seen him be laser focused in NBA finals and win finals MVPs and championships. But did James Harden want to get out of Houston to win a championship? Or did he want to get out of Houston because he just didn't feel like being in Houston in that organization?
Should have traded him to Sacramento.
Yeah, it would have been great.
He probably had a no trade clause.
I just want to shrivel up in the fetal position and freaking cry from this.
Okay. You can do that.
Nets magic tomorrow. Maybe we'll see Harden. All these guys got to pass physicals before they can play with their new teams.
We're not going to see Kyrie for another week at least.
I will say, listening to Sean Marks, it does sound like it's sooner rather than later, which surprised me.
I mean, the NBA's got to go through their investigation of him.
Well, how long
to
are we investigating?
Out.
Let's go already.
I know. Look at an Instagram post,
that's
make
enough.
A decision, and then tweet
this
it out.
Right. Not the CIA, for Christ's sake. Let's go. Knicks in Cleveland tonight. I mentioned Caris LeVert because of all these physicals. He couldn't play last night. Pacers did beat the Blazers 111-87. No James Harden, and the Rockets win on the road in San Antonio 109-105. You had Shake Milton score 31 for the Sixers, who beat up the Heat 125-108. And no, not a good night for the Rangers.
Johnson hit the linesman with his touch pass. Barzell moves in with a shot. He scores!
Jack Johnson.
Shesterkin looked like he misplayed it. Reached out with a glove. Matthew Barzell gives the Islanders a 3-0 lead.
It was still the first period.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, I got to get number 27 off of that guy. Got it.
Highway to the Ranger Zone.
We had a great player. And now I'm watching that number, and it's going the wrong way. Ugh.
So 4-0 was the final score. A couple of goals for Anders Lee. Brock Nelson, a power play goal as well. And so the Rangers in last place in the division through one game.
Yeah, and I don't know where I heard this before, but someone told me that if you get off to a bad start, it's really going to be worse this year.
I used the first 10 games.
This is like losing four.
Not the one game. I said 10 games. If my team gets off to a 3-7 start, I'm going to be pissed.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, I'm really disgusted this morning because that was an embarrassing performance last night.
Come back and win on
Got
Saturday.
Got wrong guys on the ice at the wrong time in the wrong situation.
Islanders Rangers again tomorrow. Devils Bruins again tomorrow. Last night, Boston beat New Jersey in a shootout 3-2.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Rob Saleh, new head coach for the Jets. That happened last night. DJ LeMahieu close to finalizing a deal with the New York Yankees to come back. That happened this morning, according to John Morosi of Fox Sports and the MLB Network. So we are cooking on this Friday morning. Let's get some of these calls in. What do you feel about Saleh? Yankee fans, you can breathe that sigh of relief that DJ LeMahieu isn't going to the Mets. He's not going to the Dodgers. He's not going to the Blue Jays. You know, I could say to you this morning, I told you so. He's going back to the Yankees. It was never in doubt. But I'm not an I told you so guy. I don't like to do that, but I won't do it. But I could. I could do an I told you so, but I'll just leave it alone.
Hey, I tried, man. I tried. And they pulled off a stunner of a trade for Francisco Lindor, meaning they're going to, you know, you don't make a trade of that magnitude if you don't sign the guy long term.
Sure. Right. And they
will.
So
now that basically changes the dynamics and the money and all that stuff. And I don't really care. I want Steve Cohen to be like Joe Tsai. I don't give a damn. Just spend the money on the guys that we need. So go get George Springer now.
Let's go out to Anthony in Belleville, New Jersey. What's going on, Anthony?
Boomerang G-O-O.
Oh yeah. What's happening, Anthony?
Hey, you guys are mentioning all these great things that are happening in New York, but you keep forgetting to mention the one thing to wash it all down with. Al's Boring Beer.
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
I feel like we've done plenty of talk on Al's Boring Beer, Anthony. I mean, we have promoted the hell out of it. Retweeting social media. We've talked about it. I've had Al even mention some of the places you can get it, the swag. You know, I mean, it's not like we're ignoring Al's Boring Beer, Anthony.
Do you get a free pair of skinny jeans with that case of beer there?
You do get a winter hat, though, right, to cover your beautiful bald head if you have one.
Well, those sold out very quickly, so those are not available.
How many were there?
75 of those hats.
Okay. All right. That said boring, hashtag boring.
Yeah,
on it.
Hashtag boring.
That's pretty good. I thought you were going to say like 3.
No.
Because when you put a number on something, you want to have it lower so when it sells out, it looks like there was like a great supply and demand situation going on. 75 is a decent number.
You're like Enzo Ferrari. You build maybe 100 cars a year and then you sell them, and then as they get sold and then resold and resold again, they go up in value.
Sure. Smart. It's a good way to do it.
You limit the supply and therefore there's the demand.
Go to Kevin in Freeport, who's next up. What's up, Kevin?
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
All right, Kevin. What's happening, man?
Good. I'm totally pro the Jet hire of Saleh. And I just wanted to throw in a note there. There was value for Mike LaFleur because Green Bay did put in a request to, you know, have him released and sent over to, you know, the Packers. It was denied by the 49ers. So they did view him as, you know, a commodity, you know, to keep on their staff. So I think and I hope and pray that that's a good look for the Jets. But something else I also wanted to get to real quick was I think somehow, Boomer, the NFL has to come up with a new solution for this hiring of the head coaches because guys like Eric Bieniemy, who are still in the playoffs, only get that 1 week. And teams like that, and not to say that I wish the Texans on him, but teams like the Texans who – for whatever reason, didn't give him or have him on their hiring list, you know, now missed that opportunity. And now all these jobs will be filled. And the excuse for why a guy like Eric won't get hired is that we didn't want to wait.
You know, Kevin, I don't know if you know this, that the Texans did put out a permission slip to talk to Eric Bieniemy. So I'm not sure, you know, when that's going to happen. The other thing that's happening in this hiring cycle, which is good, I think, for the coaches, is that a lot of this is being done via Zoom. So a lot of coaches have had a lot of these interview processes. And believe you me, I'm telling you, they have gone to the nth degree to try to make sure everybody is getting a fair opportunity at an interview. And that's one of the reasons why I brought up what I did this morning about the hiring practices of the NFL. And Roger Goodell and everybody else is very aware of what the hiring practices are, and it's called the Rooney Rule. and they've tightened these things down, and they've also incentivized teams to hire as many as the minority coaches as they can. And if you lose a guy off of your staff that happens to be a minority, you're going to get a compensatory pick for that.
Right, who becomes a head coach or gets elevated from his current position.
So they're trying every which way. And then at the end of the day, I would say this for myself, that if I were going to be hired to do something, I'd want to be hired because the people who are hiring me want me. And they believe that I am the face of their franchise and I am going to be their guy. I don't want me to be forced on somebody and go into a building and not get along with the people that are running it. You see what I'm saying?
Of course.
So you still have the human dynamic that everybody has to take into account here. And, you know, like I've said a million times in this show, Eric was a former teammate of mine out in Cincinnati. He's more than worthy to becoming a head coach. It's got to be right, though. He's got to meet the right guys. He's got to touch all the bases. And he's got to, like, I think, come together the way Rob Saleh and Joe Douglas are going to come together here. It seems like a marriage that's perfect, especially when the GM is leading the search.
Chris is in Manhattan. Next up on the Saleh hire. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
Big Jet fan here. I think like most Jet fans, we sort of were looking for an offensive coordinator for head coach here just because we didn't get our fill with Adam Gase, and there were so many defensive guys before that. A buddy of mine sent me an article back in September, I think it was Jets X Factor, talking about how good Arthur Smith was of a fit. You know, he's an offensive lineman, so is Joe Douglas. He sort of turned Ryan Tannehill around after Adam Gase screwed it up. You know, they talk a lot about how he simplifies the offense, and for Sam Darnold to stay, I thought that was a good mix. But I got to tell you, I found myself really pushing for Saleh this last week after learning about him. I wasn't even really focused on defensive guys. But from an energy standpoint and a communication standpoint, like, this guy's not a, you know, he looks sort of like a gym rat, but he's no meathead. I mean, he's a good communicator, really smart guy. I'm real excited about it.
Yeah, what a great assessment of someone's appearance. Like, he looks like a gym rat, but he's not a meathead. And that's exactly what you've got here. So, yeah, I mean, it's not about defensive guy, offensive guy, I don't think, for what the Jets were looking for this particular time.
That's not what Christopher Johnson told us what they were looking for.
I mean, they needed an energetic leader of men to come out of this Gase era because they didn't have that. They also didn't have any sort of energy with Todd Bowles. They needed it.
Yeah, but, you know, again, I just to kind of just go through the Gase hiring and all that other stuff, nobody had a chance. Why? Because you have a coach that's taking a job because he just got fired from one. He's got the insecurities that I'm taking another job, and he figures he's got a young quarterback here. But he's also being fed a defensive coordinator. In other words, he can't hire his staff. And then they fire the guy who hired him, or maybe wasn't or was told to hire him mm-hmm. by the owner.
Yeah.
So it got off to a really, really bad start, and there was nothing smooth about it. And for the last 2 years, we've seen the remnants of all of that and all the the bad decisions that were made early on when they hired him initially. And to me, now they got it right. They got the general manager, the point guy. He does the interviews. He's in there with the team president. He's in there with the owner. The owner sits down with the coaches. He gets to meet Rob Saleh, and they come together and they realize that this is the guy now, because we're all in lockstep. There's no like somebody covering their ass or protecting themselves or their own job or whispering in a corner against the guy that they're trying to hire. There's none of that crap going on. And what you want is you want what the Giants have right now. You want total harmony in the building where the coach and the general manager are all on the same page. And I think that's why John Mara said what he said after the season was over. And while he knew that they had a losing record, he also was relieved that he had two guys that seem like they're on the same page, or in his eyes, are on the same page. And that's what the Jets need. And I think they got the guy, and they got the energy, and they got the presence, and a guy who obviously has been beloved by the players that he's coached.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.